but I have the privilege of introducing my daughter-in-law, Julie Woodall. And I just have to say, I have two daughter-in-laws here today. Trisha Evans is here, and Mariah Woodall, my granddaughter, is here too. But I first met Julie in between our son Andy and Julie's freshman and sophomore year of college. And they both met at Baptist Bible College in Pennsylvania. And her family was attending a GARBC conference in Indianapolis. Actually, she was born in Greenfield. So that was quite amazing. When they met in college, they both found out they were from Greenfield. But when she was three, her father, who'd been a pastor in Greenfield, was called to New Jersey. And that's where she stayed until college. So here they are, Indiana man goes out to Pennsylvania, New Jersey girl comes from Pennsylvania, and they get hitched. So she, after, at the end of college, they did. And then after 4 years of seminary, they took on an internship at Faith Baptist in Lafayette. So we were very happy to have them back this way. And they've been there now. They served on staff. They started serving the next year. So they've been in youth ministry there for 12 years. And Julie is actively involved in her husband's ministry and has been since the beginning. She disciples women, leaders, teen leaders, and many other young women. She's discipled and mentored, and she teaches and directs the high school girls in their Wednesday night kids club. Or it's the teen club. I'm sorry, Mariah, what's the name of the teens, the high school? Journey? No. Oh, sorry. I'm mixing them all up. Never mind. High school girls. We'll just say that. Julie is also a mentor and speaker for their MOPS group at their church, and she's spoken at some other church MOP groups around Indiana. She's a mother of four very precious children, I'll have to say. Ian's almost 15, Mariah's 11 and a half, Derek will be 10 next week, and Jaden is 5. Some of you may remember that Julie spoke at our mother and daughter banquet back in 2007. And our focus that year was entirely on the sufficiency of the Word of God. And she was chosen to speak because the theme was a heart like a garden growing in the Word. And we used Isaiah 48, that the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the Word of God stands forever. And she was chosen to speak because she consistently exhibited that God's word was sufficient in her own life. And she continues to do that, reflecting scripture in her marriage, her parenting, her friendships, mentoring, and discipleship. If you're friends with her on Facebook, you know what I mean. Because her Facebook comments and posts are loaded with scripture. And such a wonderful spiritual focus. It's just really uplifting to read. So why was she chosen to do this on speak again for treasuring Christ in our traditions? Well, those of you who are involved in the current women's Bible study this year, how many here have been involved in this Changed Into His Image by Jim Berg? Okay, a few of you. I'll just share a few tidbits because it goes right along with what we're talking about all day, talking about traditions. But Jim Berg recalled in last week that being devoted, being a God-loving example, and Jim Berg states that God-loving examples to the next generation are people who cannot get enough time with God. They will be found consistently in the house of God, and they are lovers of God. And that's just lovers in a sense that they have a strong affection and a deep devotion, and they want to have adoration toward Him. Well, if God's name is proclaimed to an unbelieving world and His ways passed to the next generation of believing children, it will be done only by those who take seriously the charge in Deuteronomy 6. But to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your might. Sound familiar, doesn't it? So then another instruction Moses gave his people of Israel was to the next generation that they would forget the Lord unless they set before them examples of those who obviously loved God with all their heart, soul, and mind. So then Jim Berg gave some examples that I think are going to be relevant to our speaker. And I'm not taking the whole speaking time. I just want to touch on these. But he gave an example in the book about Mary's extravagant gift. Mary of Bethany that we know put oil on Jesus' head and feet. Well, some of Julie's extravagant gifts are her commitment to adopt a child, adding to their existing family of three, believing that the Lord had given them so much they needed to share. Her commitment to contribute financially to many ministries and important opportunities to promote the Lord and his servants and others in need. And her extravagant time in training her children in the Lord and serving others. Well, then another extravagant thing that Mary of Bethany did was her attention. We know that she sat at the feet of Jesus, and she chose to stay there. And Julie's extravagant attention would be that she would not be using Scripture in her daily conversations and training her children or encouraging others if she didn't know the Word of God, if she wasn't a lover of the Lord and wasn't sitting at his feet and in his Word. And Scripture flows into all of her conversations. Well, then we kind of look at David. He was extravagant in his praise. And he was a man after God's own heart. Well, Julie's extravagant praise, she praises him regardless of the most difficult circumstances in her life, whether it's her own health, her life-threatening food allergies, the serious health condition of her father, or whether suffering from two miscarriages or dealing with disappointments all the way down to a vacation that went awry that was supposed to be a very fun vacation. That's a personal joke between us. But she's a woman after God's own heart. And then lastly, Paul's extravagant service. And we know that he wanted to finish the course and he wanted to testify the gospel of grace of God. And Julie's extravagant service, she continues to serve him through any of her difficult circumstances by encouraging others in the Lord through their time of crisis, as well as continuing her own ministries to her family and those outside. Well, one last statement by Berg is, when our souls are filled with his life-giving word, we listen obediently to the promptings of the one who has loved us with an everlasting love. Then and only then can we expect the next generation to be attracted to him rather than the world. Julie continually fills her soul with his word. She listens obediently to the Lord, and she allows them to spill over into the next generation through every tradition in their family. And I know that you will be blessed by her amazing ideas and building family traditions. And as you see that she truly treasures Christ in those family traditions. So let's just take a moment and pray for Julie before she comes up. Father God, we just are in awe of who you are and how much you love us and how you have given us your precious word that we may teach others and teach all the younger generations. Lord, each one of us is old enough to teach somebody younger, right on down to the little girls that are here. If you know about Jesus, you can teach them. And Father, we just pray for Julie. We pray that you just have your hand upon her and give her exactly the words you want her to say. And we pray that each person here will be listening with open ears and an open heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow, that was an extravagant introduction. Oh, thank you. I have a precious mother-in-law, as you can see, but I'm just so thankful for what God has done in my life, and I'm just a person just like you, saved by the grace of God, and just hoping that my life will reflect what Christ has done in my life. And hopefully today, what I hope to do is to just give you some ideas on maybe how you can show Christ in your traditions, whether it just be everyday traditions or holidays that are coming up. I was given a wonderful gift by my mother. I grew up in a family where traditions, she had many, many wonderful traditions, every holiday you can think of. And, you know, we loved it growing up, but I think, you know, I never exactly appreciated it until I got older and realized what a gift she gave to our family in just building closeness together and pointing us to Christ when there's so many distractions that may come along with various holidays. So hopefully today I can pass on a little bit of that gift to you. And in the handout, I'm going to touch on some of those ideas, but I tried to brainstorm, you know, everything that I have to share with you pretty much has been given to me from someone else. I've taken other people's ideas, so hopefully this will be just something that you can add to your list of ideas. And then I also left a little bit of space for your ideas if you even want to brainstorm as a table, because I'm sure you ladies have plenty of wonderful ideas that maybe you grew up with or what you do as a family, or just maybe something that you've heard of someone else doing that might be a neat idea to do. But I always want to start to give honor to whom honor is due, first to the Lord for his work in my life, but then also Proverbs 31, 28 to 31 says, her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands and let her works praise her in the gate. So I am so thankful for God's grace in my life and giving me a mom that loves God, loves Christ, and loves her family, and really sought to point us towards Christ in all different ways throughout our growing up years. So hopefully that will again be an encouragement to you. The definition of family traditions, usually I'm a teacher by trade before I stayed home with my kids. I would have blanks, but you all lucked out today because when I was told that you would be eating, I thought, well, then I'll fill in all the blanks for them so you don't even have to work today. But hopefully that handout will be something that will encourage you and you can follow along with. But a family tradition, my definition here is those little rituals passed down from generation to generation that help shape your family by creating a sense of unity, warmth, and closeness. And the really neat thing about our time together this morning is these traditions can start anytime. You know, we can start them when we have little ones at home to when they're gone. If you've never even had children, these are things that you can do for yourself and for whatever family that God has surrounded you with. It's never too late to start something meaningful for you or for the people that are around you. There's many benefits of family traditions, and one of the benefits that is especially dear to me in my season of life, I have four children that has been mentioned, and by the way, Granny got bonus points when she said Mariah was 11 and a half. So if I thought, good job, Granny, you got the half in there, because that's really important. So, but really, traditions can be just a discipleship tool to taking those that God has given us in the home and pointing them towards Christ. Deuteronomy 6, 6 and 7 says, these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons and talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. Those words that were commanded was to love the Lord your God with all their heart. You know, there's never a time when we're not sitting, walking, lying down, or rising up. We're always doing something. We're never in between. So that's a mandate for us as believers, is to be teaching the people that are around us, specifically our children, about Christ and about who he is and what he's done for us. And we should be doing that every day. And I think family traditions, treasuring Christ in your traditions, is just one of those ways that we can make ordinary days special. We can capitalize on holidays, but they're opportunities that we can point our children to Christ in unique and creative ways. And even reaching around to neighbors and people that are around us that maybe will be more open to receiving some measure of love from you or pointing them towards Christ. Holidays just seem to do that, to give us those opportunities. The second benefit is that it contributes to the spiritual foundation of your home. Proverbs 24, 3 and 4 says, "By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches." Who wouldn't want to live there, right? Isn't that a beautiful description of what God designed for our home is? A home that is filled with precious and pleasant riches. And that's the difference that Christ makes in our homes. And we can use traditions as a way of, again, bringing Christ into the very area that we live. Letter C is that family traditions help to establish continuity and closeness in the family. Traditions can focus on holidays, rites of passage, or make ordinary days special. So just that opportunity to come together and to have a sense of belonging, to build that in with your family members, is really a neat thing to be able to foster that closeness. D is it gives parents and children a chance to share a connection time that has special meaning within the family. It helps create camaraderie among siblings and gives children something to look forward to. Like I said, I have four children, and sometimes we don't have that camaraderie among siblings, you know, that it's talking about. But just bringing the family together, giving us a unifying purpose. The children look forward to something. They know it's coming every year or every month or every week or whatever it may be. There's so many distractions today that it wants to pull the family apart and go in all different directions. And I think as we really capitalize on traditions are intentional, we can really use that as an opportunity to bring everyone together and foster that closeness and something for them to look forward to. And then it's just an opportunity to build memories as a family. One of my favorite verses is John 10:10, and it's Jesus speaking, and he says, "I have come that you may have life and that you may have it abundantly." That as believers, we have eternal life through Christ, so we have meaning and purpose in life because of Jesus eternally. But not only that, we have an abundant life. We can enjoy the life that he's given to us if we're making Christ the center. So having that in our family gives our children that sense of, wow, you know what? Jesus makes a difference in what we do and in this family, and let's make sure that we're having fun together. It's not all, we're all serious all the time, but just having fun as a family, having fun looking to Jesus. And then finally, the last one is it prepares yours and my heart to be others focused during occasion where the temptation may be, I don't know if you're like me, the temptation may exist to be self-focused during some of these holidays. Just saying, you know what, I'm going to prepare my heart as I look at, I'm intentional about the traditions and the things that we're doing as a family. I'm going to work really hard at being others-focused, whether it's my family immediate or it's extended family or it's neighbors or it's my church family. I'm just taking the opportunity to prepare my heart to be others-focused when I might have a temptation to be a little bit more self-focused. And then just being intentional about loving others. You know, I'll give a couple testimonies later how that has had an impact on me. But, you know, Luke 10:27 talks about what's the greatest commandment is to love God. Second like it is to love your neighbor as yourself. And our children's bent is to certainly love ourselves, right? So we have to keep that in mind. And if this today can maybe give you some ideas and help to intentionally love others, then that's my prayer and hope that this might be able to contribute to your life. So why don't we go ahead and get started? I have Thanksgiving. I just have some three different holidays or occasions that I want to focus on: Thanksgiving, Christmas, and then birthdays. But the challenge of Thanksgiving is it's just kind of a drive-by holiday, right? I was talking with somebody earlier, saying like Christmas just keeps getting closer and closer. You know, Halloween ends, and all the Christmas stuff comes out. And I found myself, I was actually at the mall yesterday, and I was walking around, and all the Christmas decorations are out and the Christmas music is going, and I started to stress. I'm like, I have so much shopping to do, you know. Ah, I got to hurry up and get it. And I thought, it's working. Their marketing ploys are working on me. I'm like, I have, what, 7 weeks until Christmas? I have plenty of time to do my Christmas shopping. But it was just kind of lost between Thanksgiving's kind of lost. So really taking the time to focus on maybe November just being a month of giving thanks. We should always be thankful, but especially we can use this opportunity to stress this month of giving thanks. So with each of the occasions, again, I have some verses copied for you that you maybe want to memorize personally or as a family, just to be able to say, let's really focus on remembering Thanksgiving and the whole point of the history of Thanksgiving with the pilgrims coming together to thank God for what he had done for them and be able to communicate that to our children and to our family and making sure our own hearts are ready. So I have a few ideas for you. Some of them, you know, will be for preschoolers and then all the way up. So hopefully whatever ideas are here, you can take for what may be appropriate, or if you have people that you know that might be in that season of life, you can pass on. But one of the things that we've always done is we've had a thankfulness tree or a thankfulness turkey. And I'm not crafty, as you can tell. It's really even kind of embarrassing bringing to you what I do. But hopefully it's just going to communicate. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. I mean, the goal is to teach Jesus to who's ever around us, our children or neighbors or whomever, and be able to instill that thankfulness for them. But what our thankfulness tree is, just every day having everyone in the family writing down something that they're thankful for, and you'll see your tree grow with lots and lots of leaves. This is my this year attempt at my thankfulness turkey, and my husband made very much fun of me. He's like, that is the most ridiculous turkey I ever saw. And I'm like, that is a cool turkey. Don't make fun of my turkey. But this is my 5-year-old's hand. We just traced Jaden's hand, and so all the feathers are going to be her hands. So every morning is the goal. It doesn't always happen every morning. But write down something that you're thankful for. And again, it's just on our pantry door, and the feathers will grow. And I just had to put this up here in honor of my almost 15-year-old, because that's what the teenager does in the house with the feather. He doesn't have to put it over here. It's on top of the turkey hat. So as my children have gotten older, I've kind of tweaked some things a little bit. We've had our thankfulness tree and our thankfulness turkey, but we've also started a thankfulness jar last year. If you've ever heard of this, this actually was our dog food treat jar that I just covered, so it can be anything, but I'm sure you can make something beautiful too. But our thankfulness jar has our verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is just not a November thing. You know, this is something that God wants us to, should be doing all the time, but especially, again, a window of opportunity of really focusing in on being thankful. And so with the older kids, what we would do is just have slips of paper, and they would just write down every day, or as we think of it, what are they thankful for and why? I'm a big one on why. I want to know why. Don't tell me school or parents or home. Why are you thankful for that? That gives you a little window into their heart, know what they're thinking, but it makes them think a little bit deeper too. But then on Thanksgiving Day or around it, we would go through and we would take out the pieces of paper and read it, and the kids would, everybody would have to figure out who wrote that, who was thankful for that. And that was really kind of a fun thing to be able to see what each one was thankful for. So that's the idea, our thankfulness jar. Kernels of thanks at Thanksgiving meals, if some of you may have heard of that, but we, you know, the little kernel corn, not the candy corn, but the hard kernel corn, you can have in a little basket, and at your Thanksgiving meal, pass around your basket, and everybody can take out 3 kernels, and then as you go in before the meal, each person at the table can say one thing that they're thankful for, 3 things, and put their kernels in the basket as it takes its time to go around. But that's just kind of a neat thing to be able to reflect maybe back on the year of some things that you're especially thankful for, and just, again, foster that spirit of Thanksgiving with those that are joining you. This is one of my favorite Thanksgiving traditions that we just started a couple years ago. It's called an autograph tablecloth. And so each Thanksgiving that we host, we bring out the special tablecloth and put it on the table, And everyone that's there writes on the tablecloth in permanent marker whatever they're thankful for that year. So they sign it with their name and their and the date. And then we just bring it out every year. And then we do eat on it, but I would put we put a plastic sheet over the top of it so you don't have to worry about food getting on it. But I know you all, many of you know Jamie and Christy Woodall up in Boyne City. They're missionaries of this church, but I thought, oh, here, Jamie has written, I thank God for this amazing journey, awesome wife, great kids, and work we love. The King is good, Jamie Woodall, 11-23-10. So I thought maybe you might enjoy hearing that, and many of you know them. But the kids write on it, too. And my 7-year-old nephew wrote, I love God, and his name, and he's only 7. That's pretty special. My mom had written on there, I'm thankful for my first Social Security check last year. So there's, you know, there's fun stuff and there's a God stuff, you know, but it's just really neat to bring that out every year and to have everybody's handwriting on it. And that's just, I think, going to be a real treasure that we'll have that autographed tablecloth. Another idea is if you're hosting Thanksgiving and you have little ones coming, have you ever seen the long paper rolls? You can put that on the kids' table with some crayons or markers. And so while you're preparing dinner or the adults are eating the other room, you can have the kids coloring or decorating their table with what they're thankful for or drawing pictures of Indians and pilgrims or whatever, but just something kind of fun for the children to do. Another idea is maybe reading Bible stories about people who were thankful or people who weren't thankful, like the 10 lepers that Jesus healed and only one came back to say thank you. So being able to draw their attention to what thankfulness may look like in the scriptures. One of the things that my mom always did that I enjoy doing as well is making a cross cake because we're thankful for the cross and what Christ has done for us, what God has done through Christ in providing a way to be forgiven of our sins and to have that abundant life that we're talking about. So we always have a cross cake. I'm a big fan. Again, if you have little ones, preschoolers, pretty much any holiday, we do crosses and hearts because we talk about God's love and we talk about that love that was shown through the cross for us. So you Rice Krispie cakes, Jell-O jigglers, French toast, I'm telling you, cookie cutters. It's a great way to be able to, again, provide those teaching opportunities with the little ones or for neighbors even. We have brought hearts and crosses along with, for Christmas, the bells and all the Christmas cutouts that we give for our neighbors. We've added in crosses and hearts for Christmas to be able to just, again, get that witness in to our neighbors and just a reminder of the greatest love that was shown for us. One of a new tradition that we have made is Linda Evans. If you don't know, she is the noodle lady. She makes noodles, homemade noodles. Maybe some of you do too. Again, I'm from New Jersey, and I never knew about noodles with Thanksgiving, but I married into a family with noodle makers. So last year, she had the idea that we would start a new tradition and go to Granny's house, and all the girls would have a morning of making noodles. And so honestly, I'm not like a big cook and baker, and I'll probably, she knows, be calling her every time I cook the noodles, like, what do I do with these again? How do I make this right? But that has become a really special time that Granny has set aside for the daughters-in-law and the granddaughters to come together. Again, it's just a tradition that's providing us an opportunity as family to come together and spend time together, build those memories, and then make noodles that our husbands, right, Tricia, are very, very happy for. Noodle making. How about volunteering at a mission or a soup kitchen or bringing a bag of groceries to a family in need? Again, it's Thanksgiving. It's so easy for us to become self-focused about what we want to do or what our expectations may be. But again, if we can take an opportunity, this window of saying, I'm going to use this to love God and love people, that I'm going to be intentional with even some of those traditions. I know of some that they have their Thanksgiving meal, but then maybe prior to that or after that, they'll go down to a soup kitchen or something and serve it to people that are less fortunate. Or maybe you know someone in your church or community that doesn't have a place to go that might be lonely on that holiday, just to invite them in to include them in your Thanksgiving meal. So there's hopefully some ideas for Thanksgiving. Also, this book, if you've ever heard of Dennis and Barbara Rainey with Family Life Today, this is a great book, Thanksgiving, A Time to Remember, to just have that go out and, again, review that with your family and for yourself. What's our roots of Thanksgiving, and what am I doing with this to show love? Our second thing that we'll talk about is Christmas, and again, the challenge of Christmas can be all about ourselves, right, and materialistic. Again, I told you I was at the mall, and I certainly did get some Christmas gifts and some goodbyes, but I did find myself a little bit like, I got to hurry up and get Christmas shopping done, and we have plenty of time to do that. But I'm just focusing on Christmas, a time where it's so easy to be busy, 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 and add more stuff that we easily forget or don't take the time to really focus on Christ. And this is what Christmas is about, is focusing on Jesus being born and what that means for you and for me. We never focus on Santa Claus growing up, so we just kind of carried that into our family. We never really talked about Santa Claus, but we knew that we really needed to clue our kids in one time. I was at Lowe's. My oldest was, I think I only had Ian at that time. He was 2 or 3. And we walked into Lowe's, and there was this life-size blow-up of Santa Claus. And he goes, "Look, Mom, it's Moses." So we thought, okay, we better clue him in on who this red-bearded, jolly old man is. So that's kind of a funny story as we look back on that. But, you know, the point is, that's okay. We want them to think of Jesus at Christmas and to really be able to enjoy all that Christ has offered us through his birth and then his death, burial, and resurrection. But using Christmas as an opportunity, I know you all at Heather Hills do your some Christmas outreaches. I saw on your women's ministry, some Samaritan's Purse, is that right, and different things. And then I know you usually have a Christmas morning service. That's really a neat thing to do. One of the things that we did a long, long time ago was we were just found ourselves at Christmas with all of our kids just running from place to place to place, from family member to family member. And finally we're like, you know what? We're not doing this anymore. We're like, where is Jesus in all of this? Like, we're having a great time. Our kids are loving all their presents, and we're having a good time with family, and we want to get family time. We will. But we thought, you know what? We want to be in church on Christmas Eve and build our own family tradition. So it was hard for me, honestly, to do that at first, because I was like, everybody's going to hate us. You know, you don't want to disappoint anybody, but at the same time, you have to do what is right for your family in that season of life. So that's something that we have done and has worked well, and we still get some great opportunity with family along that. But then we're also getting our kids remembering, like, you know, Christmas is really important to remember that Christmas is ultimately about Christ, and making sure that we're keeping that a focus in our family. How about Christmas caroling? I don't know if that's kind of a lost art, but going Christmas caroling, growing up, God used a situation for all four of the kids in my family that my dad had committed to someone in our church that was a shut-in, that had never married, had no kids, just lived by herself with a caregiver, that we were going to come and Christmas carol to her, and was on Christmas Day. And so I think I was probably, I'm the oldest, so I think maybe I was in 6th or 7th grade. Well, we did not really want to do that, to just put it out there honestly. You know, we need to be taught, right, to love people. We're selfish instinctively. And so none of us wanted to go. We were giving a big brouhaha was arising that we did not want to go Christmas caroling on Christmas Day. And my dad said, you know what, we are doing this. And the caregiver had called him a couple hours prior to that and said, I just want to make sure that you're still coming, because Miss McCraney is asking if the pastor and his family is still coming to Christmas carol. And he said, so I said, yes, we're coming. So he said, we're going. Everybody get in the van. We're going. It was a station wagon at that time, probably. But so we went over, not with the right heart intentions, for sure. But we went over, and we brought our cookies, and we sang our Christmas carols. It's certainly not with an attitude that would show our love for God. But we did it, and we came home, and nobody was happy. And probably 15 or 20 minutes later, the phone rang, and Miss McCraney had just died. Like, she was waiting for us to come and to sing to her. And it's going to make me cry just thinking about it. You know, God used that experience for all four of us to say, you know what? People are really important. And you need to get over yourself and all that you want for Christmas and love people, because that's what's important. So all four of us still talk about this. We're all like, oh, we couldn't believe that. And my dad looks at it and he says, oh, I'm so glad I made you go, because I was so close to letting you people stay home. That's my dad's like, oh, I'm so glad I didn't give in to you, you know. But the point of that story for us, for me personally, is that people are really important. A little bit of an inconvenience in your day goes so far to loving someone and communicating a message of love and Christ to them. And then you just never know, you know. And another thing is, sometimes you may be fighting against family members that may not really appreciate it at the time. But who knows how God may use that opportunity to reach out to somebody in their lives. So capitalizing on that holiday to just love people. Christmas caroling, writing cards to your neighbors. One of the other things that we've done is we've given a meaningful ornament every year to each of our kids. So I brought one as an example. I don't know if any of you have done that or grew up with that each year you got your own ornament. But we try to make it meaningful for something that was special of that year. But this is in 2001 is when our son Ian accepted Christ. So this says Ian 2001, and it's a ornament that says, "For he shall save his people from their sins." And then the kids each get to put their own ornaments up on the tree and remember a little part of that year for them. So they're not all, you know, like a spiritual ornament, but, you know, there's Batman, and there's a Pokemon, you know, there's all sorts of things, but it's just something for them to be able to put up, and some will be just a little window into what they were doing spiritually, maybe the year that they accepted Christ. This wordless wreath cake is neat. I got this idea from one of the ladies in our church, but this is a neat thing to do every year, and what this really could also be called the gospel cake. But each part of it is a representation of a part, maybe a part of what Christ has done for us. There's a little poem that goes with it, and it says, "My heart was dark with sin until my Savior came in." So it's chocolate cake, chocolate mix, so it's dark like our sin. "My heart was dark with sin until my Savior came in. His precious blood, I know, has washed me white as snow." So the white frosting over our heart that needed to be clean. "And in God's word, I'm told, I'll walk the streets of gold," that's our gold beads, "to grow in Jesus each day, I'll read my Bible and pray." So that's the greenery, kind of is the growth. But that's a really neat opportunity if you're having people over for Christmas, or even with a Sunday school class, if maybe you're a Sunday school teacher or a teacher somewhere else or whatever, you have opportunity to just bring in a dessert. You can share the story of Christmas through your cake. So that I have that poem up here if you would like that, but that's the wordless wreath cake. Also, adornments. This is another thing from Family Life Today. I like Family Life Today. They have a lot of neat ideas. But each of these little ornaments have something to do or significant of who Jesus is. So this one is a crown, and Jesus is the King of Kings, and it has a verse that shows that aspect of who Christ is, the King of Kings, and then it also comes with a little booklet of these adornments that you can read and further develop that. But that's kind of a neat thing, that adornment book. Same thing with a candy cane. If you have a candy cane, even if you have a tradition of giving things to your neighbors, add a little candy cane in there, and there's a little candy cane poem that you can get it on the internet, or if you want to look it up over here, The Legend of the Candy Cane, about the red and white stripes, Jesus' blood, and it could be the J is for Jesus, but it's another opportunity of getting that witness in, of getting Christ in there. I was at Linda Gallagher's, where is she, around here, yes, her ideas in decorating with the Christmas cards. And here's another idea, is after you have your Christmas cards, go through them and pray through each person that has sent you a Christmas card. And that's kind of a neat thing to bring out to your family and just reflect back on who this person is and how you know them and maybe just why they're special to your family that they would have thought to send you a card and be able to pray for them. And I've also, one of my friends had the idea that she would then turn that card into a postcard and just write them a thank you note for thinking of our family, and we just want to let you know that we appreciate your friendship through the years, or whatever, that we prayed for you. That's kind of a neat thing to turn it around, that they would take the time to think of you, then we can turn around and think of them as well. So I like that idea of just praying for the people that have sent a Christmas card. How about doing something with a nativity? I know if your church does something here or another church, just making it a special occasion to just go visit a nativity or a living nativity or something like that. The kids love to dress up. If you have grandchildren or you have children in your home, that you can, I think one year, didn't the Ochins dress everybody up and take a picture? Yeah, that was really cute. That's great. Yeah, just another opportunity. They don't need to dress up as reindeers and elves. Let them dress up as shepherds and wise men. Point them towards Christ. This is something that we did last year as a gift to my parents, is when we went out to Christmas out east. Everybody was together. So we put a little book together and dressed up all the grandkids and wrote the Christmas story along in the book, and then made copies for everybody. And my parents were Anna and Simeon. So we have them in here. One of my sisters was pregnant, so she got to be Mary in one of the pictures. But you can look at that later if you want. But that's kind of just a neat book, a tradition now that we can bring out and just enjoy as a family, remembering the fun time that we've had together. And then again, this is what Christmas is about, that window of opportunity to treasure Christ in your traditions. Also, how about an Advent calendar or an Advent wreath? That's something that we've never done, but I know that's a neat thing to do. Hobby Lobby, if you guys probably have a Hobby Lobby here somewhere, they are so fabulous for having things about Christ and just different spiritual significance for the holidays. Just using nativities to decorate your house and maybe having a birthday cake for Jesus. Have a birthday party for him. We always used to do that on Christmas Eve. They had a child is born Christmas magnetic pouch. So there's, I mean, just things that you can start early if you have little ones in the home to focus on, and then just keep it if you have little ones come in for visits throughout the holidays for that Advent calendar or nativity magnet things. So there's just some ideas for Christmas. It's a great, exciting time of the year, but again, if we're not intentional and thinking about how what it truly means, and it's easy to miss some of those opportunities. So just being able to point again towards Christ through those. And the last thing I thought I would talk to you about this morning is just maybe some birthday ideas, because we all have one, right? We all know people that have birthdays, but how can we use birthdays as an opportunity to love on the people around us and also to, again, have an opportunity to treasure Christ in that. One of the things that we've tried to do is to, and even myself, I was diagnosed with some heart condition when I was in 03. And I thought, you know, if you've ever experienced kind of it wasn't really life and death for me, but it was kind of a wake-up call, like, wow, you know what? I don't automatically guarantee that I'm going to live to be 80 or 90, you know? I get today. And back then, I kind of vowed to the Lord and to myself, I'm like, you know what, every birthday that I get, I'm going to celebrate it. I don't ever want to dread a birthday, because to me, a birthday represents another year of life that God has given me, that I've gotten to enjoy with the people around me. So if we think of birthdays like that, then we can think of birthdays like that in our family or friends. This is just a special plate from the Pampered Chef. I think this is a really old one. They probably have some more updated ones, but this is your day. Celebrate. Just do something kind of fun for the birthday person. And then one of the things that we've done is gone around the table, and every person in the family looks the birthday person right in the eye and tells them something that they're thankful for about that person. And it's really funny to see the siblings kind of squirm under that at first. But, you know, I think that's something that's lost, that we don't just look people in the eye and say, you know what, I love you, and I'm so thankful for you because of this. I mean, we love everyone in the family regardless of what they do. So we're not communicating my love is based on your performance. But I love you because God's put us together as a family. But these are the things that I've seen and I appreciate about you. And that's been a neat thing to go around the table and do that. Trying to make the birthday party about celebrating family and friends and God's goodness. My husband was in spent a year in Ecuador, and he said in South America, the birthday person is there to serve everyone that comes. Like, often we look at birthdays like, come serve me, you know, it's all about me. But he said it was really neat because their birthday is an opportunity to serve all the other people that come. So trying to communicate that, especially to our children. One time, my son has a friend that is 3 days off from him, and he was going to his friend's party. So I said to him, I'm giving him the mom speech, you know. Now, Ian, this is about Josh. It's Josh's birthday, so I want you to go and not... You don't need to draw attention that your birthday's coming. Just go and love on Josh and be a good friend to him and, you know, the whole love others spiel. So then, like, 3 days later, it was Ian's birthday. I said, okay, now we are so thankful for you, and it is your birthday, and we're celebrating you, and one of the ways we're doing this is by inviting your friends over. So let's use this as an opportunity to show your friends how thankful you are for them. And he looked at me, and with all respect and seriousness, he goes, Mom, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. He goes, when is it about me? Because I'm saying it's not about you going here. It is not about... I'm like, exactly. That's the point, right? It's not. It's not about us. I mean, we get great joy from the people that God brings into our lives, but it was just so funny. When is it about me? But teaching them that it's not, you know, is really not. It's about loving God and loving people, and it's amazing that while we're doing that, we get blessed. Because when we're just looking to get love and acceptance and affirmation from everyone else, it's never enough. It's never going to be enough. Because that's not where we are meant to get it. We are meant to get it in Christ and teaching our kids that as you see who you are in Christ, that gives you then the ability to love other people without expecting anything back. And it's just, that's what brings so much joy. Two other ideas, and then I'll be done. Having a double daddy daughter date is what we did with Mariah when she was young. But now I must call it a double daughter dad date, right? No more daddy. She told me it's dad date. She has a friend that's about 3 weeks difference in her, and you can think about this: the people that are in your life. If there's someone that you can kind of do something with this, but. To build that relationship, that father-daughter relationship, every year for the birthdays, her friend and the friend's dad and my husband would take the girls out on this double dad daughter date. Got to change it. But they started out when they were 2, going to Chick-fil-A, and now they're going to be 12, and we have pictures every year of them doing that, going out on a date with their dads, and it has the place of... The restaurant has changed through the years. It's no longer Chick-fil-A. But that's just something that they have really enjoyed and look forward to. And then one other idea that our parents have done, John and Linda Evans, they started this last year, is they have a grandparent weekend with individual grandkids, except for the youngest two. They get to go together. But they take each child, each grandkid, for a weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, just to get some alone one-on-one time with them. Because you know how it is often just all the kids together. You don't get that one-on-one time. And that has just been so neat to see the joy that they get and the joy that our kids get getting that time with their grandparents. And as a mom, I want my kids to have that connection with their grandparents and to have, we need many voices in our kids' lives pointing them to Christ and building those solid relationships. So that's been a really special thing. So if that can maybe give you some things to think about, you know, you've heard the old adage, give someone a fish, you fed them for a day. Teach them how to fish, you fed them for a lifetime, right? Well, hopefully just our time together this morning has maybe whet your appetite. Maybe you've always done traditions. or had some things that you've done, but you thought, you know what, maybe I could be more intentional in how I use this, or given you some more things to think about or ideas. Tips for implementing them, sometimes it can be overwhelming. I mean, we've done a lot this morning, a lot of decorating, a lot of food, and some the Christmas tree craft idea. But maybe just walk away with one or two things. You know, there's lots of ideas, but think, what's one or two ways that I can maybe treasure Christ a little bit more in my traditions, or give me an opportunity to do that? Have the freedom to stop some traditions that aren't working or not fulfilling their intended purpose and do something else. That's okay. I know for me, I tried to do some traditions that my mom did, but they just did not work for me because it just added stress to my day. And so I thought, you know what? Why am I doing this? If it's not fulfilling its purpose, I'll just not do that one and start something else, or whatever. Be more intentional about what you're already doing, and then just choose a few things and just have some fun. And then in closing, I just wanted to say this, that by building family traditions, again, you're using windows of opportunity to creatively point your children, if they're in home with you, or others, and others, to Christ. And may God bring you great joy as you intentionally seek to love him and others while making great memories all along the way. So thank you for giving me the opportunity to come share with you. I always love to come and see new faces, or old faces and new faces, people that we've known for a while. But I'll just pray, and then we can go from here. Lord, thank you so much for just the fact that you came so that we might have life. And not only that we could have eternal life through Christ, but that we could have it abundantly, that every day we can have joy, we can have peace, we can have comfort, and no matter what circumstances you bring into our lives, that with Christ we can have that true life and meaning that you came so many years ago to give to us through coming to this earth and then living a sinless life and then dying and resurrecting for us. And we thank you for that. Thank you for the ability that you give us to be used by you. Lord, we are just weak human beings that apart from you, really we are nothing. But the purpose and the meaning that we get when Christ intersects with our lives is just so amazing and beyond us. I pray that you would just be living out through our lives each day, and then just as these special opportunities come, that would just be another opportunity that we can just show forth Christ in our lives. And if there's anyone here this morning that we've been talking about treasuring Christ in their traditions, that maybe they might say, wow, I'm not even sure if I have Christ in my life. Lord, I pray that even our time together, if there's anyone here like that, that they would get some answers to that, and that how great it would be that this would be their day of salvation, and that they can enjoy that abundant life that we can have in Christ. So thank you, Lord, for each day. Thank you the joy that we can have in knowing you. In Christ's name, amen.